Our speaker for this next hour is Brother Kevin Keehan. Are you willing? Since the creation of the world, it is very obvious from the Scripture that God has always wanted a people to be called His people. In all of this, we come to an understanding concerning God's desire to have a people to wear His name and to comply according to His doctrine, His standards, as we see that God created man after His very image, Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 and 27. And the first of humanity that God created was Adam and Eve. And God placed before Adam and Eve commandments of which they were to adhere to, but yet at the same time we understand as we read from Genesis chapter 3 that Adam and Eve sinned against God and that sin separated them from God. And I can only imagine that God was very more than just sore with these individuals, but rather that God was grieved over the state that Adam and Eve were in this state, having transgressed the law that He had laid down for them. But yet we find that God still wanted a people to be His people. He, through Abraham, established the children of Israel. They became the Israelite nation, and these people then, good people God wanted and desired so very much to have a relationship with. We understand, as is taught from Genesis chapter 17 and verse 8, that God established a covenant with the children of Israel, and this covenant was a promise that God had made unto them, that He was going to be their God and they were going to be His people, and God wanted them to understand the significance of this covenant relationship that He had given unto them, and that they were to remain faithful to Him constantly in throughout the course of their life here upon the face of the earth. In all of this, God laid down for Israel on multiple occasions commandments. Commandments that He wanted Israel to know, and in knowing these commandments, then in like figure, He expected Israel to comply with these commandments exactly as He had given them. In doing these things, God wanted them to be more than just law keepers. He wanted them to not just to keep the law for the sake of keeping the law. You say, Kevin, what exactly was it that God was looking with Israel and expecting from them? God was longing for Israel to have a very sincere love, affectionate love and desire for Him. He wanted Israel to love Him the very same way in which He had loved them. How had God loved them? God led them by a cloud by day and a fire by night as they exited from Egypt. God was also with them, providing for them whenever they thirst, giving not only to supply for their thirst, but also whenever they hungered. God was constantly there for them. And also as they journeyed along the way, God was there providing and protecting Israel constantly without end. And God, in turn, wanted Israel to love and to appreciate Him the same way in which He had demonstrated His love for them. How did Israel respond to God's love and the things that He commanded out of them? Good people, we are saddened to say tonight, as we look at the Old Testament Scripture, that Israel complained against God. One would have thought that Israel would have appreciated in a very real way what God had done for them. But yet, we understand that while God was trying to supply for Israel, Israel complained against the leaders of God, Moses and Aaron and other leaders. And the Bible tells us that whenever they rebelled or whenever they complained against Moses and Aaron and the other leaders of God, that they had complained against God Himself. In all of this, we come to an understanding that Israel rebelled against God. They went against the commandments of God. And they walked away from our God. They turned their back on the Creator of this world. They turned against the One who had demonstrated His never-ending love for them. But yet, time and again, good people, what do we find concerning God? God, in a desire and in multiple temptations to bring Israel back, He judged them. He raised judges who would judge against the children of Israel. The things that they had done contrary to the will of God. And God did these things to wake them up, to get them to understand that indeed He was God and that He was still there amongst His people, but yet at the same time that they had disappointed Him, that they had violated His law. And yet in the point of these judges, in certain times, good people, they did turn back, but yet at the same time we find this continual cycle where they would turn against God on a continual basis. God continually pleaded with Israel.
He wanted Israel to understand that He was always there wanting a relationship with them, that He stood willing and ready to constantly forgive them, but yet at the same time, good people, we understand is that Israel was turning a deaf ear. And for all of this, then God used the prophets of old to instruct Israel, to instruct them concerning the fact of what Jehovah saw concerning their arrogance and their sinful ways. And He warned them of the impending judgment that would come upon them if they did not repent, if they did not turn back and to be the type of people that God desired them to be. As we look at Israel, one would think that they would have indeed woke up, that these individuals would have, at least at some point in time, that the eyes would have been opened and that they would have understood. But the Bible tells us, good people, when we come into the New Testament Scripture, that Israel still refused to listen. In fact, Jesus stated in the book of Matthew chapter 23, verse 37 through 39, "So long, God longed to gather Israel together as a hen gathers her chicks under His wings, but they were not willing." They were not willing to listen to the instructions of our Lord. They were not willing to comply with the commandments that God had laid down. And as a result of this, we learn that many of the Jews, that is, those who did not convert to Christianity, that these individuals fell with Judaism. And in fact, good people, we understand that these people will be eternally lost. You say, "Kevin, how can you say that?" Because the Apostle Paul said in the book of Romans chapter 10 and verse 1 that his earnest heart's prayer and desire was for Israel that they might be saved. That tells us that during the lifetime of the Apostle Paul, that these individuals were not willing, even at that point, to repent of their sin, their arrogance, and to turn back into God. And for that reason, these people were doomed to an eternal damnation, separated from the very presence of God. What about in the Christian age? Today, our God still wants a people. And God has established the church, His church in Christ, to be His people. And God calls upon all of mankind to come and to be a part of that kingdom. God says that He wants to be our God and that He wants us to be His people. What is it that God is looking for in the fact of His people, the church? People, God wants a people to follow after Him. Why? Because He wants a relationship with us. He considers us as family. In the book of Galatians chapter 3 and verse 26, the Apostle Paul refers to us as such, "For we are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus." He says that we can become sons and daughters of God. How? Through faith in Christ. By being obedient to the gospel of Christ. And God commands us that we are to hear Him, and in hearing Him and understanding of His laws that He has laid down in the Christian age, that we then therefore must comply with those laws. And in doing so, then we can indeed become the people of God. It brings us into a relationship with God. And in all of these things, then God wants mankind to continue to serve Him, to do the things that God commands of us. What is it that God wants us to do in reference to our obedience to Him? He wants the same thing out of us today as what He expected of Israel. Not to just keep His commandments for the sake of keeping commandments. Not just to keep the letter of the law, because we understand that there are severe consequences, eternal condemnation that we will face if we do not keep them. But rather, God wants us to keep His commandments based out of the love that we have for God. God wants us to love Him the same way in which He has loved us during the course of our life here. How is it that God has loved us? Good people, we have been created after the very image of God. God has created mankind as a whole after His image. And He's placed within each of us a soul that lives here and a soul that will someday stand before Him in judgment. But this is not the only demonstration of our God's love for us. God has continually demonstrated His love for us. He sends rain upon the just and the unjust. What does that mean? It means that God is constantly present here, actively involved in the things that are taking place in this world, and more specifically in regard to our life. God is constantly watching out for us, providing for the things that we need to sustain our life here and protecting us as His people. And God wants us to understand that the greatest demonstration of His love is found in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Because of sin in our life, we are separated from God. But yet, because of God's love for us, He sent forth Jesus into the world. And now you and I can come to an understanding and an appreciation of the love that God has for us as we look to Jesus. And now God says to mankind, you love me the same way in which I've loved you. Well, what is it then that God's saying that will demonstrate a sincere love on our part to Him? If we sacrificially give ourselves over to Him. But what do we find characteristic concerning mankind? All of mankind sins against God. Romans chapter 3 and verse 23 says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And somebody says, well, Kevin, how do we sin against God? God has given us law in the New Testament Scripture. And this law serves as His guidance for us as we go throughout the course of life. For mankind as a whole, God has spoken to us. And God wants man to understand His law, and in understanding His law, then to apply that law to our everyday walk of life, and to live our lives constantly for Him. And good people, also as New Testament Christians, especially, God wants us to realize the fullness of His law and to do all that is within our power to do to live in line with that law. But yet at the same time, we are here in the flesh as humans. And the human side of us wants to go contrary to the law of God, and therefore we have the sin of commission. What is the sin of commission? It's whenever we do things that we should not do. We know what God's law is concerning morals and ethics and concerning godliness as a whole, but yet for whatever reason we choose personally to violate that law. And God says that in violation of His law, in transgressing His law, that we sin against Him. But good people also understand that we have the sin of commission. Well, what is the sin of commission? James chapter 4 and verse 17 says, for him who knows to do good and then does it not, to him it is sin. It's simply whenever we do not do what we should have done. And somebody says, Kevin, that means that every single one of us might commit a sin in our life. And in reality, we don't realize that we've committed it. And amen to that, brothers and sisters, and everyone else who's out there. And for that reason, God wants us to understand how important it is that we understand concerning His law, and that we're constantly thinking about His law and our life, and living our lives in line with the commandments that He has laid down for us. In all of this, we understand that God still wants mankind to be in a relationship with Him. God has given us His Word. In fact, in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. God has spoken to man. God has communicated with us through His holy and inspired Word. And good people, we understand concerning His Word, as is taught by Jesus in the book of John, chapter 16 and verse 8, that the Holy Spirit convicts man of sin. He does not do that in some sort of a miraculous or mystical way, but rather He does this through His holy and inspired Word. God identifies for us exactly what sin is. And whenever we read concerning what sin is in the sight of God, God wants that to convict us. God wants to prick our hearts concerning this. Also, we understand, as the Apostle Paul taught to the saints at Rome in Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, Paul said, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. God's Word is very powerful, not only to convict us of sin, but to direct us according to the standards of godliness in our everyday walk of life. To what level and to what degree? In 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3, he says, as His divine power is given unto us all things pertaining to life and godliness. Good people, it's the same in the Christian age as what it was in the days of old, as what the Apostle Paul spoke to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. He says that the Holy Scripture is able to make one wise unto salvation. And certainly that was true concerning the Old Testament Scripture. Why? Because it pointed to Jesus Christ, wherein salvation was found. And today, God's Holy Scripture is able to make us wise unto salvation. Why? Because it points back to Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And in understanding these things, God says that I want a relationship with you if only you will listen, if only you are willing to come and to do what I command of you. And God has appointed godly leaders within the church. He's given us, He's blessed us with godly men as elders to serve in the body of Christ, to know His Word, to instruct concerning His Word, and to encourage us as we seek to live our lives in line with the commandments of God. And good people, we need to listen to our godly leaders in the church always, who seek to not only live their lives in line with the commandments of God, but in like figure to point us where God would have His people to constantly go. He's also blessed us throughout the centuries with godly men who will serve in the pulpits and others who will serve as teachers concerning His Word. And these individuals are wise in Scripture. And these individuals give solid counsel from the message that God has communicated into mankind. And why is it that God has given or appointed godly leaders in the church? Because He longs to gather together a people, if only they are willing to do what it is that He commands of them. And as I look into the Bible, I find that God is very patient. Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 4 that God desires for all men to come into salvation. We also understand concerning what Peter wrote in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9, For the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any would perish, but that all would come into repentance. God certainly is very patient with mankind. Why? Because God does not want anyone to go to hell, but rather He wants them to be His people, if only mankind were willing to listen to what it is that God commands us. God's message is to the non-Christian. To the non-Christian, God constantly is stating that these individuals need to surrender and to submit to His will. In fact, in the book of Romans chapter 10 and verse 13 and following, He says, "Whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." What does it mean to call upon the name of the Lord? Good people, it means that we are to confess Jesus Christ to be the Son of the living God, and that we believe this with all of our heart, as Philip had told the Ethiopian eunuch in the book of Acts chapter 8 and verse 37. Well, what does it mean then to confess Christ? In Romans chapter 10 and verse 10, He says, "For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, but with a mouth confession is made unto salvation." And to the non-Christian, to those who are outside of the body of Christ, to those who are lost, Jesus Christ Himself said in the book of Matthew chapter 16 and verse 16, "He that believes and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believes not shall be condemned." And God wants mankind to understand this. And God wants man to be inspired, to be motivated, to have a desire, to be willing to become His children.
But also the message is for the Christian. And the Christian is always to consider our ways. To consider our ways, the life that we live here in comparison to the life that God commands us to live as His people. And God also expects us to grow in the grace and knowledge of His Word each and every day as we live our life here. And God also then, in all of this, expects us to be steadfast and immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, involved constantly in the things that He has laid down for us. The big question still remains is what it did during the days with the children of Israel. Are we willing? Are you willing tonight to do what God commands mankind to do? The sad state of the world is that most of the world at least has had or will have an opportunity to hear the gospel truth concerning the message of Christ. And the sad state of that is that many will be like Israel. They will not be willing to comply, to love God, and to obey God out of that sincere love that God expects mankind to have. But tonight we ask those who are in our midst and the audience tonight, are you lost and do you stand in need of the salvation that is only brought forth through Jesus Christ? The gospel message calls you. It calls you to be obedient. It calls you to love God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the question is, are you willing?